Good morning. Today we are continuing on with our Ten Commandments sermon series, and we are on commandment number three, taking the Lord's name in vain. Before I get too much going, because I'm going to go today, so keep up. I'm going to pray, so if you would, bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, we praise you, Lord God, for all you've given us here today, for this time of fellowship, this time of reflection and worship. Father, to be here, to listen to your word, what a blessing it is. Help us, Father, to treat it that way, to remember the true glory that is yours, that without you, life itself ceases to be. We thank you, we praise you. May your word illuminate our hearts and our souls. May we have open mind and open hearts to listen and to remember to apply this message today. We thank you, we praise you, give you the glory for all things. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior's name, we pray. Amen. Okay, so Exodus 20. We're there again. Exodus 20, verse 7 today. Verse 7. In preparing for this sermon, we're kind of getting this progression, remember, of God's thoughts. That, remember, we're not going to take the Ten Commandments as 1, 2, 3, command 4, on to 10. We're going to take them as progressing. We're not going to abandon the first one to read about the second or the third. We're going to take them all with us. And so, taking those with us, the third commandment today goes the extra step. We're learning who God is, what he requires, but now it's kind of more to the heart of God. If this is a relationship, if this is what it's supposed to be, then here, this is a big point. Because what we see here is that we can have a relationship with God, but we have to remember one thing, and that's that God is holy. And so this commandment, the third commandment, is a lot about God's holiness. That there's different, I guess, a different thing about God that is apart from the whole world. That he's holy, separate, consecrated, something that we, before God, aren't. If we're not careful, we look at the third commandment, taking the Lord's name in vain, we look at it as just a rule. Here's something to live by. But it's not just that. It's about a true relationship here. And it's about the true character of God. If God is a holy God, if God is a righteous God, then that means even his name bears a separation from the ordinary, the flippant. And that's what this commandment's about. So we're going to talk about that today. And we're also going to talk, we're going to have kind of just three broad areas. The misuse of God's name, the wrong use of God's name, and the proper use of God's name. We're going to talk about each one of them. But before I get going too much, I want to do a little name or word association with you. And so I'm going to say a word, and then you're going to, you can say it out loud if you want. Or if you don't, just think about it. And remember what you first think about. I'm going to say a word, and you're going to tell me the first word that comes to your mind. We are in church. Please be appropriate. First word, Nixon. Nixon. Watergate. Mother Teresa.
None.
Hitler. Yellow. President. Satan. God. Jesus. All right. Now, I didn't want you all to start screaming, but think about those words. Think about what first came to mind when I said different words. Now, when I said Nixon, the first thing I thought of was crook. And that's not just, not necessarily about Nixon, but it's what's most associated with him is that line, I'm not a crook. Now, different things like Satan, I thought adversary. And you have these different words, and they mean, there's something, they call attention to something in your mind, don't they? There's something there that you associate with them. Had I said the word wife, you probably would have thought of yours. I said the word husband, you would have thought of yours. these things. That's kind of who we are. We're that kind of a people. We associate things. Now, here comes the problem with some of that. We influence how we associate words like that. We teach ourselves what words mean. And so in so doing, we have a bad habit of sometimes attributing the wrong thing to the wrong name. And today, that's what we're going to talk about. If you would, join me. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, this has a multitude of ways that this can apply. And the more I looked and the more commentaries I read, the scarier it got, because it started to really open up all these different ways that we unfortunately take the Lord's name in vain. And you start to kind of see that sometimes we're very flippant people. We're very, very, very superficial people. So we're going to talk about those today. The first set I'm going to talk about is the misuse of God's name. And the first one is oaths. This commandment right here, specifically, what the Israelites would have kind of heard is that oaths part, because that becomes a big part of the Old Testament, a big part of who they are as a covenant people, that God's name is used in oaths. And usually, it's got some severe ramifications when you use God's name in an oath. We're talking about Abraham, Noah, even back to Adam. When God uses his name in an oath to those men, that means something. They take that as something serious is about to happen. And as we go on, as we see the oaths kind of take shape and they kind of switch and they kind of do different things, different places. Here what we're talking about, the misuse of God's name in an oath, is not just every oath you take. You'll often remember in a court case, you watch shows about court, you watch shows about lawyers, so on and so forth. They put their hand on a Bible and they say, I swear to tell the whole truth, or the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Now, often when we see that so help me God part, we think that's because God's supposed to empower them to tell the truth. But actually, it's more of a condemnation of, if you don't, so help you God. God's the only person that can help you. Okay, that kind of an oath, that's all right. We're not talking negatively about that oath. But what we are talking about is oaths that we take when we invoke God's name and it's contrary to God. We're talking about flippant oaths. When we were kids, what we used to do, we said, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. The whole rhyme there. I'm telling the truth. I'll keep this secret. Now, that's scary, but people do that all the time with God. I swear to God, that's what happened. I swear to God. Now, if we're not careful, what do we mean by that? That starts to get a little dicey. Because you hear a lot of people say that, and I would say 7 out of 10 times, because most of the time statistics are, 8/10 of statistics are made up on the spot, that it's a lie. Someone's lying to you, and they're trying to add gravity to that lie by saying that they'll invoke God's name. I'll tell you whatever you want to hear, and at the end of it, I will say, I swear to God. You have to believe it. I swear to God. You think about that, like oaths in that way. And we see it all the time. All the time people say that kind of stuff. It's everyday language now. It's kind of like we got the hyperbole police that everything is always the end of the world. The earth literally fell apart. My world literally shattered. We say those exaggerated terms, and then people always say, I swear to God, that's how bad it was. Really? Just for everyday use, we're going to use that over and over again. What happens to a word you use multiple times, over and over, ad nauseum? Eventually, it loses its meaning for you. Eventually, it's just a word you use. It's your filler. In speech class, we learn fillers. Fillers are those words that you say, but. Those things are fillers. Things because your mind's not caught up yet with what your train of thought is, so you fill it in. the name of God is oftentimes our filler. How sad that is. That's what our go-to is. We make God's name normal when it's not. It's holy. The second one, and this is the one I think we use the most. This would have been a little bit foreign to the Israelites because this command, out of all the other commands, was a serious command for them. The scribes would consecrate themselves before they wrote the name of the Lord in the Torah. Oftentimes, people would substitute a name for God rather than say his true name because they are worried they're going to violate this command. This was serious to them, deathly serious. And the second way we do this is we use God's name flippantly, ordinarily, and often in swearing. And I don't think I need to elaborate too much with that one because we've heard it a lot. GD. Hear it all the time. GD. Not only that, but you hear our Savior's name all the time. Something bad happens. Well, Jesus Christ. Now, there's a time and a place for God's name. There's a time and a place where we need to hear God's name. And when I get down to that part, we'll talk about those places. But for everyday purpose, for a car wreck or whatever, sometimes we that's our go-to. And we do not mean we're invoking that person. We're just using the name. You can insert any other word you want in there, and it sounds just as good. In fact, when we swear, a lot of people, that's how they swear. They love to mix God's name in with it. As that brings more power, I guess. It seems kind of odd that we do that, but it is very much part of our vernacular in English that we use these words. Now, it becomes very easy for us to misuse God's names these ways and start to go that way. But if we're not careful, it becomes kind of part and parcel to who we are. It becomes part of how we are in our everyday life. People expect this of us. Expect us to use God's name flippantly. And that verse that she read in Jeremiah for the Old Testament, that's talking about that. That's talking about that. See, the prophets would use God's name when they were going to give a false prophecy. They would still use God's name because it added power to what they said. It was false, but they wanted to add prestige to what they were saying. And God is saying, I'm sick of you using my name for that. I'm sick of it. God here is tired. He's tired of hearing his name spoken like that. This commandment is supposed to be drawing us to the conclusion of God is different than us. He's holy. He's separate. But also his name is holy and separate. When Moses asked God, who shall I say is sending me to the Pharaoh? God says, you tell them, I am is sending you. I am Yahweh. That's the first instance where God says his name. He says his name to evoke the power of that name. That would not have been lost on Moses. But so often we've come to just expect hearing it everywhere we go. You hear it everywhere. You see it everywhere. Facebook. It's all over Facebook. OMG. You see it all the time. OMG. It's Thursday. OMG. How horribly generic. How horribly off-centered. That's how we use our Savior's name. Now, this seems like I'm kind of bogging us down here, but I'm not trying to. I'm trying to get us to reflect on this because it's serious. It's deathly serious. Because what we're talking about is we're supposed to be the people that worship our God. We're supposed to be the people who try to be obedient to our God. And here we are using his name flippantly. Here we are using our name of our Savior callously. It becomes very hard for us, very hard for us to go down this way. So to misuse God's name in this way is to draw God's holiness to the generic, to the everyday, to the, quite frankly, the just kind of the junk of how we speak. To think that our Savior's name would be associated with words that you can't say here, you can't say on public television, and you've got to go to an R-rated movie, you've got to go to paid cable to hear some of these words that they associate with our God's name. How sad that is. How horribly sad that is. Now the second use, the wrong use of God's name. These are associations and values. When we associate God's name with something that is not, well, with God. When we're associating something that's not God's. But you also see in the different commentaries that I read, John Calvin was really hard with this commandment because he thought this was a really important commandment that we often misuse and almost become disobedient to. And his association even said, he claimed that Christians, people who call themselves Christians, who disobediently go opposed to God's will, are taking the Lord's name in vain. Now you think about that. We're not talking about Christians who are honestly trying to live out God's word and we sometimes stumble. We're talking about people who openly live opposed to God's will and still call themselves by that name. You think about the gravity of that situation. Whenever you hear the number of Christians in the world, you can pretty much half that number. Whatever number somebody spouts off to you, you half that number. Because there's a large part of the world that just consider them Christians because they were born in a Christian household. Not because Jesus died for their sins, but because they were born in a Christian household. Now the problem comes in with, if we start to do that, if that's how we define ourselves, we've missed the point. This taking the Lord, your God's name in vain, falls for this association. Whatever you associate with God that's not part of God's plan, not part of God's will, not part of his attributes, those things are opposed. Those things don't go together, and we're trying to mix them together. And you can't. You can't. The values that we see in the world. When people say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I swear to you, I'll give you a handshake. It's good enough that we're Christian brothers and sisters. I won't cheat you. I won't cheat you. I've heard this before. I won't cheat you. And then immediately cheat that person. Immediately do something horribly crooked to that person. I've seen it happen. I've seen it in my family. Someone calls themselves Christian and then deliberately, dishonestly, does something horribly crooked. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. To get the advantages of being a Christian brother or sister, because we're told to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, told to root for one another, told to encourage one another, told to help one another as we can. And then to have someone amongst us call themselves that and then deliberately do the opposite of what our Father would have them do. How horrible. How horribly dishonest. But also, how would they take the Lord's name in vain like that? Why would they do that? We see this also with the different attributes that we attribute to God. God's truthfulness, God's love, God's mercy. And then we try to jam stuff into God's love that didn't belong. We try to say that, you know, God really loves you, but God just all right with all the sin that's in your life. He doesn't care. God does care. God loves you despite your sin, not because of your sin. And when we start to tell people that you know, God's just all right with everything. You know, you just come and God's going to be all right with all that. It's okay. It is okay to approach God with sin, but it is not okay to leave God with sin. We can't do that. We can't come to God and think that he's just going to accept anything we accept. That's not how it works. That's not holiness. He's not a landfill for our trash. He's our holy God. Now, the example I have for this one, I said this before when it happened, but I'll use it because I think it's a good one. And just so you don't think that we in Iowa are somehow not often talked about, there's a pastor in Seattle who used this same example. And it's kind of to our sadness that this is some, in Seattle, this is one of the things Iowa is known for. Earlier, I think it was last year, right at the end of fall, they had a prayer meeting at the Capitol. And, it wasn't really a prayer meeting. It was more of a conference for Planned Parenthood and abortion. And one of the governor candidates going for it, I think he dropped out now, he prayed. He prayed during this conference, and his prayer said that he prayed that God would bless abortions and that God would bless these organizations that allow people to have abortions. He went on and on about this. And you start to kind of, if it doesn't make you sick, it should. Because what we're hearing is that we want God to bless something that is completely opposed to God's order of things. When you look at the Bible, when you read that Bible, God is the God of the living. God set creation in motion with that command to our forefathers of what? Be fruitful and multiply. God's will is that none should perish, but all shall be saved. And we're asking God to bless some circumstance that we think in our high-mindedness that we can take the life of things that aren't as big as us, aren't as smart as us, that we dehumanize, that we make callous and normal. Even cannibals don't eat their own. Think about that. In these tribes, in the deepest recesses of the world, where we think it's backwater, backwoods, backwards, these people, and they're still cannibals in Papua New Guinea, they refuse to eat their own tribesmen because they consider that to be an egregious breaking of the law of creation. Think about that. They dehumanize all the other tribes and they'll eat them, but they won't eat their own. They won't murder their own because that's wrong. Why would you do that? You think about that. We live in a society where it's all right to do that, but it's all right also to then invoke God's name with it. As if we're somehow making incompatible things compatible. That's taking the Lord's name in vain, to attribute to God something that doesn't belong to him. Now for us, start to think about it, how that works in our lives, what things we do with that, how we interact with these two things, that we misuse God's name and we use God's name wrongly. And we can also just kind of be all right with it. It sounds all right with us. We got to kind of fight that. Now, what I'm not saying is you got to start screaming at everybody that uses God's name in vain. Don't do that. One, they won't care probably, but two, you'll just look like you're crazy. But start praying for those people. Start praying for them. And if we're sometimes doing this ourselves, which we do. We have the unfortunate habit of often falling in line with the way the culture is. We do. It can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous for us. But one of the things I would say to you with this is it's not strictly just God's name. God, Lord, Jesus, Christ. It's not just those things. Also, there's certain attributes of God's that they're just his. We're a holy people because we have a holy God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We by ourselves are not holy, though. So using the word holy, even, I think is treading a very thin line. And that's probably one of the ones I use the most. Holy. Holy cow. If I was Hindu, I guess that would be all right. But I'm not. Can't say that. It's something that I've got to work on, too. But if we're going to be serious about this, if we're going to be serious about who we serve, if we're serious about our God, then we've got to be serious about how we speak about Him. It's got to be reflected in us, how we speak about Him. It's not enough just to, I guess, worship God for who He is, don't make any graven images, follow the other seven commandments, and then leave out this one. This commandment is huge. Huge. Because this is probably the one we break the most. It's how we treat God's name. So the wrong use of God's name declares God as a liar. We're associating Him with lies that aren't His character. Well, then now we've covered those things. Now we need to learn the proper use of God's name. What that looks like. And quite frankly, the difference is pretty astounding. To take God's name in the proper use is to treat it with true piety, holiness. The one thing God never said is never say my name. He wanted His people to call His name, but to call it in such a way to be specific, treat it special, reverent. That's the hard part for us, is we can't just stop saying it altogether because that's wrong too. We go so far the other way that we lose the ground. And this means to treat God's name with holiness, to treat God's name with a certain amount of consecration, that it's a different name. It's not a name you just throw out there any old time. It's a name that means special significance to you. And it's to give God proper glory. That's what that always was for. The name of the Lord was to be glorified. There's also another scripture passage that talks about God doesn't want to hear His name anymore from His people Israel. He's tired of it because they're misusing it. They take it in vain. He's tired of hearing His name because they misuse it so much. So to use God's name rightly is to correct that way of thought. To give you an example, when I come home, it doesn't matter if I'm coming home for lunch or I'm coming home for supper. The one thing that happens when I enter that door is if Kaziah is downstairs and she'll look at the door, first thing she says is, "Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad." And usually it's all a mixture. I don't know if it's spelled right the way she says it, but it's all kind of grammed together. But I hear "Dad" in it, and every time I like hearing it. I love hearing that. That's a good feeling when I hear my name. And then there's other times where she's walking around the house and she goes, "Dad, Dad, 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 Dad," and she does not mean me. She is concentrating on something. She's grabbing something. She's working on something. If she's down at the lumberyard, she's got a pen in her hand, and she's marking on paper, and she's dad, 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 dad. There's a difference in how she says it, but also how she means it. But as she grows up, she'll stop using it for everything. She'll stop saying my name just whenever she's concentrating. She'll only say it when she needs me, when she wants me, when she's mad at me, so on and so forth. And if we're not careful, we don't remember that, do we? We forget that part. We forget the power that the name of the Lord has when used properly. That we're talking about God joining us in something. When we're talking about prayer, that God would be there with us. When we say those words, "Dear Heavenly Father," we're writing that note, that verbal note we have. We're addressing it to someone. When we talk about in Jesus' name we pray, there's power with that name, proper power. If we're not careful, we treat God's name irreverently. We treat it like we would any other word. It's not any other word. But if we're not careful, we'd never use it, not even in its proper place, which is even more how the Israelites would use it. They just stopped using it. Eventually. We can't do that. We can't do that. So the real takeaway from this is that to misuse God's name is to completely mischaracterize God, completely take away from God what is his glory, his honor, his holiness, his truth. And to use his name properly is to exemplify God's character. This is who God is. When we say something truthfully honest, that we pray that God would bless this person, we're invoking that name for a reason. You don't say, the church blessed this person. Obama blessed this person. Oprah blessed this person. We say, God bless this person. Because those other names don't help. They don't have the power that we need. So I'll leave you with this one today. That the name we associate with God, the things that we associate with God, if they're not the right things, if they're not the true things, if they're not part of God's character that's found in the Bible, maybe we're not using it right. Maybe it doesn't belong there. Use a different word. Think about it. Reflect on it. This is powerful. This is something that shapes who we are, because we use this word just however we please. If you would, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord God, that your name is holy. Your name is truth. Your name is the very promises you've given to us. It is solid. It is foundational. Lord, help us to not be a people who use your name with commonness, with a sense of the daily, but with the true holiness that that name needs, that that name deserves. That we would not just brandy it about, but we'd hold it special to our hearts, knowing that, Father God, at the end of all things, that every knee shall bow to the name of the Lord. How special that name must be then, when it evokes so much love, holiness, truthfulness, faithfulness from us. Help us to be the kind of people that are intentional with our speech, are intentional with our thoughts, that we would purify them, that we would consecrate them to you, Lord God, and we would use your name correctly. We thank you, we praise you, give you the glory for all things, and ask that you would go with us, Father, as we go throughout this day and throughout this week, to bless your name, and to bring your name to the people who need to hear it, those people who need to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's in that name that we pray. Amen.